The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host once again. And today is, what is today? Today's the 9th of March, 2014. And it is a Sunday, and it's raining outside, and we need the rain. There's no question about it. So, we're streaming worldwide, and you can listen at KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Bob, our trusted producer and soundboard operator and all-around great guy. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Great to see you again.
Absolutely. Yeah, last night we saw you, and there was quite a bash going on out there at Wind River. You know, we had our annual fundraiser. I think everybody had a great time. You know, we auctioned off a lot of guns, and I actually won one, which was
a lot of guns to one individual.
Yeah. I'm not sure how that worked out.
Kudos goes out to Reasoner out there, Aaron's husband. I can't remember his name.
Chris.
I'm sorry. Our kudos goes out to Chris Reasoner, and
Every time he turned around, he was going up there getting another gun.
I was starting to wonder if the fix wasn't in. Anyway.
Aaron's husband is Bill, by the way.
Oh, is it Bill?
No.
Oh, I'm talking about
Aaron Ryan's husband.
Aaron Ryan. Well, I knew that. I'm talking about Aaron Reasoner. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, he was the guy with the kind of one of those English-looking hats that was right up front there, and he just kept going up onto the stage. Chris,
Yeah. It is Chris. That's what I thought.
Yeah,
Bill
won. Brothers has a gun for every shop now.
Bill.
What's up with that?
Bill did pretty good too. It was a great night. Everybody had fun. So moving right along, all our shows are podcast and archived as well. You can friend me, and I highly suggest that you do at Mark E. Kent and on Facebook, and because that's where the news. You know, that's where I get most of my news these days. Obviously, you got to vet everything, but. The mainstream media just seems to be completely out to lunch. They like to black things out, or they do the twister, the spin.
Oh.
Yeah.
They're doing the spin.
They're doing the spinsters. Anyway, tune in on Saturday mornings for Jefferson State of Mind. That's 8 to 9 with the Bear and the Mouse, and and they talk about all things State of Jefferson. And so our quote of the day is, I'm not worried about how high the price of gold is going. I'm worried about what the world around us will look like when we get there.
Interesting.
You might want to think about that one for a little while. Let's see.
Do a spin on that.
Yeah. Do you have any current events that
we
about?
We do. I just got a flyer the other day that Congressman Doug LaMoffitt is going to be doing like a town hall meeting at the Veterans Hall on Yuba Street. That's 1605 Yuba Street on March 18th. And he's going to be talking about...
It's a Veterans Coffee. It's not a
Oh, sorry. Veterans Coffee. I just got corrected.
Is that like a coffee and cake thing?
It's just all about veterans.
It's just all about veterans. He's going to be talking about all the issues that's going to be facing the North State veterans. So, again, that is on March 18th.
Very good.
And it's from 10 a.m. to noon, and that's at 1605 Yuba Street. Then on Saturday, March 29th, at the Shasta County Veterans Hall at 1605 Yuba Street again, it's Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans, and that's from 10 a.m. to 3.
Very good. Yeah, we've got a couple of headlines. We're going to do, today's going to be kind of our Ayn Rand day. I mean, if everybody, I think that's how you say it, Ayn Rand. And it's not Ayn Rand, it's Ayn Rand. And we've got a video we're going to play in the second segment from Mike Maloney. I think everybody should watch this or listen to this. You can go to goldsilver.com and watch the full video. We're not going to play the whole thing. But he's going to do the speech that Francisco does in the book, and it's like the big, huge speech that just blows everybody's mind. And he did a good job of it. And I think that we should listen very carefully to that. But before that happens, here's CaliforniaWatchdog.org. California senator sues Obamacare exchange for causing policy cancellations of a million people. Now, you know, you can't make this stuff up. And, oh, by the way, it's being very successful. Yeah,
sure it is.
Obamacare is very successful. Yeah, if you want it to sink and crash and burn, it's very successful. And that couldn't be the whole intent of the thing, so we get a single-payer system, could it? No.
No, they wouldn't have any intentions like that.
So anyway, you know, the California senator is suing, and he's saying that Obamacare exchange has caused a cancellation of more than a million policies and spending tax dollars on irrational, unreasonable, and abusive ways, such as a lurid Richard Simmons video. Did everybody see the lurid Richard Simmons video? You know, where he's out there rolling around on the floor and the spandex and... You know, it's, he's, like, you know, doing his little dance. Look, I'm a pony, you know, and, Bill's in here doing hip thrusts.
Yeah, you don't want to see the visual on this. Trust me.
So Ted Gaines, is, you know, the legislature's most critical voice of Obamacare. Gee, imagine that down here in California. There's one critical voice of Obamacare. Critic of Obamacare? Really? I mean, I guess all the Democrats down there, the Democrats are, you know, and the prostitutes are all really good with this. So it's, you know, it's fantastic out there. It's working and everybody's happy and we'll all have insurance and there won't be any doctors and any care.
Class, yesterday in regards to some health care and stuff, and the gentleman that was speaking, he's actually an herbalist. Anyhow, he had a patient come in, and the medical doctors are telling their patients now, I can't treat you. Yeah. Not that even if you have the money, but if you're over a certain age, I just can't treat you anymore.
But you got insurance.
Hey, so there you go.
And it's free.
Yeah. You're 70 years old. Sorry, you're just out of luck. You don't get any medications or nothing.
It's just like Sarah.
Get kicked to the curb.
You know, Sarah Palin's speech, if anybody caught that, I watched a little bit last night when I got home on Fox, and not that I'm a big Fox fan, but I like Sarah Palin. I got to say, I think that the media has denigrated her for no other reason than they think they can get away with it. So, we lost Bob.
Oh,
there
we're
go.
Back.
We're back.
I'm not sure what happened there.
I think Bob was pushing a button over there. So, but basically, you know, there's no free lunch. I mean, that was the speech. There's no free lunch. Nothing's free. And somebody has to pay for it. And all, you people out there that think everything's free or that you're entitled to, something from the government, they have to steal it from somebody else to give it to you. And it usually, you know, they take, you know, if they steal a dollar, they usually spend, or steal 50% of the dollar or 90% of the dollar, and 10% goes back to the project that they said that they were going to get in the first place done. So.
Right. Another note on Obamacare, which I just thought of and somebody reminded me, a lot of the doctors aren't even taking Obamacare.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah, imagine that.
Okay. Yeah. Imagine that.
Imagine that. There are some alternatives out there, some Christian alternatives. There's Samaritan.org, I believe, Samaritan or Samaritan House. And then there's the there's another exchange. The name of it's escaping me right now that I heard about it the other day. But you might want to check around. There's other places to go that actually could get you your insurance and that maybe the doctors will actually treat you. If there's any doctors left by the time they get through decimating our healthcare system. And you know something? The Tea Party's been right all along. So we told you so. We told you what was going to happen. And guess what? It's happening right now. And, we're coming to a fork in the road here, guys. You're not going to be able to stand on one side of the fence. I mean, you're not going to stand on the fence. You're going to jump on one side or the other, and you're going to accept and embrace tyranny and servitude and slavery, because that's where this is going. Or you're going to get on the right side of the fence and embrace freedom, self-reliance, and unlimited government. And And, you know, what do you want to hand to your children? Are you going to say that you were the ones that let them do it?
Here's another little bit of piece of information for that in regards to Obamacare. I just learned that, you know, the Rockefellers bailed out the American Medical Association. They were actually going bankrupt.
I believe it.
And so the Rockefellers bailed them out. Not that they would have anything to do with how you get your care or any of that, you know.
Well, the American Medical Association was supposed to be, you know, the guys that were for Obamacare, which sort of gave it the appearance that everybody in the doctor's world was for Obamacare. And the real deal was they were a very small percentage, and most of the doctors were against it because they didn't even consult with them in the first place. So let's go to a break, and then
all
we'll
right.
come back with this clip on Ayn Rand. And
okay, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
On the day I was born, the nurses all gathered round. They gazed in wild wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone.
Hey, Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR, 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
The home of good health in Reading for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli, featuring no nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course, there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Reading community for over 30 years, family owned and operated for three generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition Experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Reading.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came.
It's Rachel Lane with KCNR 1460 AM inviting you to join us Sundays at 4 for The Kitchen Sink. It's a show about everything and the kitchen sink. We'll be discussing everything from parenting to science, arts, culture, music, and we'll be highlighting some very important community members right here Sundays at 4 o'clock. Please join us every Sunday 4 to 5 right here on 1460 AM and KCNR1460.com. It's The Kitchen Sink with me, Rachel Lane, on Free Fire Radio.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Thank you. times now, and we can see the light.
Love this song.
That's going back on just a little ways.
On this road I'm walking on, I feel my way. We're back. Sovereign Mind Radio. Bob's over there playing with me. I'm singing off the air, and then he turns me on, and all of a sudden I'm on the mic, and
then he turns you off.
Then he turns me off.
And then next is the button.
Yeah, the red button's, in the hand over the red button.
Hey, I have a phone, a pen, and a red button.
There you go.
Hey, all three branches of government. Listen, let's go ahead and play that Ayn Rand video. Let's get right to it and not waste any time, and then we'll comment afterwards.
When money ceases to be the tool by which...
Oh.
All right, hang on. We got to get rid of Hot Tuna first. Okay. And here we go.
When money ceases to be the tool by which men deal with one another, then men become the tools of men. Money is a barometer of a society's virtue. When you see that trade is done not by consent, but by compulsion, when you see that in order to produce, you need to obtain permission from men who produce nothing, when you see that money is flowing to those who deal not in goods, but in favors, when you see that men get richer by graft and by pull than by work, and your laws do not protect you against them, but protect them against you, when you see corruption being rewarded and honesty becoming a self-sacrifice, you may know that your society is doomed. So I'm going to read to you a bit of Atlas Shrugged. Ayn Rand, the author, was born in 1905 in St. Petersburg, Russia. She was somewhat upper middle class. Her father was a pharmacist that owned the building that housed the pharmacy. During the time of the Russian Revolution, she was 12. When her father's business was confiscated and they fled to Crimea, when they returned to St. Petersburg, they faced nearly starving conditions. And she eventually came to Hollywood in 1925, and she wrote screenplays and novels in Hollywood all through the 20s, 30s, and on into the 60s, actually. I believe that with her background, there's no greater authority to speak on the virtues of capitalism versus the evils of collectivism. And this is a theme that ran all through her work. In the Great Depression, socialist values had become quite popular in the United States. And against that social backdrop, all of her works idealized capitalism. So it was something very unpopular. Yet her book has become one of the best, the Atlas Shrugged has become one of the best-selling books of all time. And so I'm going to read a masterpiece within a masterpiece. When you read Atlas Shrugged, it's a little bit dated and boring. And you wonder why you're reading it for the first 400 pages. But then right about page 400, you go, holy moly. You can't believe that this little speech at a party pops up. And then you realize why you're reading this thing. Standing unnoticed on the edge of the group, Reardon heard a woman who had large diamond earrings and a flabby, nervous face ask tensely, "Signor Diancagna, what do you think is going to happen to the world?" "Just exactly what it deserves." "Oh, how cruel." "Don't you believe in the operation of the moral law, madam?" Francisco asked gravely. "I do." Reardon heard Bertram Scudder outside the group say to a girl who made some sound of indignation, "Don't let him disturb you. You know, money is the root of all evil, and he's the typical product of money." Reardon did not think that Francisco could have heard it, but he saw Francisco turning to them with a gravely courteous smile. "So you think that money is the root of all evil," said Francisco. "Have you ever asked, what is the root of money? Money is a tool of exchange which can't exist unless there are goods produced and men able to produce them. Money is the material shape of the principle that men who wish to deal with one another must deal by trade and give value for value. Money is not a tool of the moochers who claim your product by tears or the looters who take it from you by force. Money is made possible by the men who produce. Is this what you consider evil?" When you accept money in payment for your effort, you do so on the conviction that you will exchange it for the product of the effort of others. It is not the moochers or the looters who give value to money. Not an ocean of tears nor all the guns in the world can transform those pieces of paper in your wallet into the bread you will need to survive tomorrow. Those pieces of paper, which should have been gold, are a token of honor, your claim on the energy of the men who produce. Your wallet is your statement of hope that somewhere in the world around you there are men who will not default on that moral principle which is the root of money. Is this what you consider evil? Have you ever looked at the root of production? Take a look at an electrical generator and dare tell yourself that it was created by the muscular effort of unthinking brutes. Try to grow a seed of wheat without the knowledge left to you by men who had to discover it for the first time. Try to obtain your food by means of nothing but physical motions, and you'll learn that man's mind is the root of all the goods produced and all the wealth that has ever existed on earth. But you say that money is made by the strong at the expense of the weak? What strength do you mean? It is not the strength of guns or muscles. Wealth is the product of man's capacity to think. Then is money made by the man who invents a motor at the expense of those who did not invent it? Is money made by the intelligent at the expense of the fools? By the able at the expense of the incompetent? By the ambitious at the expense of the lazy? Money is made, before it can be mooched or looted, made by the effort of every honest man, each to the extent of his own ability. An honest man knows that he can't consume more than he has produced. To trade by means of money is the code of the men of goodwill. Money rests on the axiom that every man is the owner of his mind and his effort. Money allows no power to prescribe the value of your effort except the voluntary choice of the man who is willing to trade you his effort in return. Money permits you to obtain for your goods and your labor that which they are worth to the men who would buy them, but no more. Money permits no deals except those to mutual benefit by the unforced judgment of the traders. Money demands of you the recognition that men must work for their own benefit, not for their injury, for their gain, not their loss. The recognition that they are not beasts of burden born to carry the weight of your misery. That you must offer them values, not wounds. That the common bond among men is not the exchange of suffering, but the exchange of goods. Money demands that you sell not your weakness to men's stupidity, but your talent to their reason. It demands that you buy not the shoddiest they offer, but the best your money can find. And when men live by trade, with reason, not force, as their final arbiter, it is the best product that wins, the best performance, the man of best judgment and highest ability, and the degree of a man's productiveness is the degree of his reward. This is the code of existence whose tool and symbol is money. Is this what you consider evil? But money is only a tool. It will take you wherever you wish, but it will not replace you as the driver. It will give you the means for the satisfaction of your desires, but it will not provide you with desires. Money is the scourge of the men who attempt to reverse the law of causality, the men who seek to replace the mind by seizing the products of the mind. Money will not purchase happiness for the man who has no concept of what he wants. Money will not give him a code of values if he's evaded the knowledge of what to value, and it will not provide him with a purpose if he's evaded the choice of what to seek. Money will not buy intelligence for the fool, nor admiration for the coward, nor respect for the incompetent. The man who attempts to purchase the brains of his superiors to serve him, with his money replacing his judgment, ends up becoming the victim of his inferiors. The men of intelligence desert him, but the cheats and the frauds come flocking to him, drawn by a law which he has not yet discovered, that no man may be smaller than his money. Is this the reason you call it evil? Only the man who does not need it is fit to inherit wealth, the man who would make his own fortune no matter where he started. If an heir is equal to his money, then it serves him. If not, it destroys him. But you look on and you cry that money corrupted him. Did it? Or did he corrupt his money? Do not envy a worthless heir. His wealth is not yours, and you would have done no better with it. Do not think it should have been distributed among you. Loading the world with 50 parasites instead of one would not bring back the dead virtue which was the fortune. Money is a living power that dies without its root. Money will not serve the mind that cannot match it. Is this the reason why you call it evil? Money is your means of survival. The verdict you pronounce on your source of livelihood is the verdict you pronounce upon your life. If the source is corrupt, you have damned your own existence. Did you get your money by fraud, by pandering to men's vices or stupidity, by catering to fools in hope of getting more than your ability deserves, by lowering your standards, by doing work you despise for purchasers you scorn? If so, your money will not give you a moment's or a penny's worth of joy. Then all the things you buy will become not a tribute to you, but a reproach, not an achievement, but a reminder of shame. Then you'll scream that money is evil, evil because it would not pinch hit for your self-respect, evil because it would not let you enjoy your depravity. Is this the root of your hatred of money? Money will always remain in effect and refuse to replace you as the cause. Money is the product of virtue, but it will not give you virtue, and it will not redeem your vices. Money will not give you the unearned, neither in matter nor in spirit. Is this the root of your hatred of money? Or did you say that it's the love of money that is the root of all evil? To love a thing is to know and love its nature. To love money is to know and love the fact that money is the creation of the best power within you. And you're pesky to trade your effort for the effort of the best among men. It's the person who would sell his soul for a nickel who is the loudest at proclaiming his hatred of money. And he has good reason to hate it. The lovers of money are willing to work for it. They know they are able to deserve it. Let me give you a tip on a clue to men's characters. The man who damns money has obtained it dishonorably. The man who respects it has earned it. Run for your life from any man who tells you that money is evil. That sentence is the leper's bell of an approaching looter. So long as men live together on earth and need means to deal with one another, their only substitute, if they abandon money, is the muzzle of a gun. But money demands of you the highest virtues if you wish to make it or keep it. Men who have no courage, pride, or self-esteem, men who have no moral sense of their right to their money are not willing to defend it as they defend their life, men who apologize for being rich will not remain rich for long. They are the natural bait for the swarms of looters that stay under rocks for centuries but come crawling out at the first smell of the man who begs to be forgiven for the guilt of owning wealth. They will hasten to relieve him of this guilt and of his life as he deserves. Then you will see the rise of the men of the double standard, the men who live by force yet count on those who live by trade to create the value of their looted money, the men who are the hitchhikers of virtue. In a moral society, these are the criminals, and the statutes are written to protect you against them. But when a society establishes criminals by right and looters by law, men who use force to seize the wealth of the disarmed victims, then money becomes its creator's avenger. Such looters believe it safe to rob defenseless men once they've passed a law to disarm them. But their loot becomes the magnet for other looters who get it from them as they got it. And then the race goes not to the ablest at production, but to the most ruthless at brutality. When force is the standard, the murderer wins over the pickpocket, and then society vanishes in a spread of ruins and slaughter. Do you wish to know whether that day is coming? Watch money. Money is a barometer of a society's virtue. When you see that trade is done not by consent but by compulsion, when you see that in order to produce you need to obtain permission from men who produce nothing, when you see that money is flowing to those who deal not in goods but in favors, when you see that men get richer by graft and by pull than by work, and your laws do not protect you against them, but protect them against you, When you see corruption being rewarded and honesty becoming a self-sacrifice, you may know that your society is doomed. Money is so noble a medium, it does not compete with guns and it does not make terms with brutality. It will not permit a country to survive as half property, half loot. Whenever destroyers appear among men, they start by destroying money. For money is men's protection and the base of a moral existence. Destroyers seize gold and leave to its owners a counterfeit pile of paper. This kills all objective standards and delivers men into the arbitrary power of an arbitrary setter of values. Gold was an objective value, an equivalent of wealth produced. Paper is a mortgage on wealth that does not exist, backed by a gun aimed at those who are expected to produce it. Paper is a check drawn by legal looters upon an account which is not theirs, upon the virtue of the victims. Watch for the day when it bounces, marked account overdrawn.
Well, there you have it. That's a very good speech. That's not the whole thing. I suggest that you go to goldsilver.com and watch that. It's a warning for Americans. Is money the root of all evil? Mike Maloney. And I think we need to go to a break, and then we'll come back. And I don't know if we have Terry on the line or not, but he's welcome to call back in. Otherwise, we're going to talk about Greenspan's thesis on money. And so let's go to a break.
All right. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Well, okay.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
For the best roundup of the local high school and college sports scenes, plus in-depth discussion, tune into the NorCal Sports Show with Nate Abarea at 6 p.m. Tuesdays on KCNR 1460. Nate takes you right to the heart of NorCal action with interviews, analysis, and roundtable talks. Call in or tune in. You'll want to join Nate on Tuesday nights if sports are in your blood and the local scene is on your radar. The NorCal Sports Show, Tuesdays, 6 p.m., Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Join me, Dan Fagan, for your afternoon drive home.
I've been listening since you started. I like listening to you, and I just wanted to know that. And there are a lot of us listening. I think it's a very good thing that you're positive. I want to hear positive in the world today because you hear too much negative.
Why automatically assume the worst will happen? What does it cost you to believe the best? There's no cost there.
Weekdays, 3 to 6 p.m. on KCNR.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
A singer in a smoky room, a smell of wine and cheap perfume. For a smile they can share the night. It goes on and on and on and on.
Strangers waiting,
walking down the boulevard. Boy, I almost want to just keep listening to that. Sounds so good, you know? I love that song. Anyway, we're back. You just heard Ayn Rand's big speech, the money speech out of Atlas Shrugged. And well, I'll tell you what, if you really analyze what was just said, listen to that a few times. If that doesn't enlighten you, and I'm not saying I agree with everything that was said, but it's definitely a masterpiece within a masterpiece.
Yes, it is. It definitely is. And I believe we have Terry on the line. Are you there?
I'm here.
How
Boy,
you doing?
That was really a good segment, you guys.
Yeah, Mark, it really ties in there to what's happening now. That's for darn sure. That was really a nice segment, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you. So you got a question or
well,
a comment?
I got a couple
of
quick things I wanted to bring up, if I may. First of all, I don't think a lot of people really know the kind of work that you and your sister put in. And last night's event that we did for Conservative Radio, you guys were just amazing. Linda, I don't know how you do all the stuff you do, hon. You are absolutely amazing. And Treva and Joetta and Gwen and all you folks that did that was great. And I don't think a lot of people really appreciate, Mark, what you do for people. You know, you help a lot of people out on things. You're very, you know, you guys are very generous with your time. This show has been absolutely wonderful the last few weeks. It's just been great, and it's a real blessing to everybody. So
thanks,
I wanted
Terry.
To say that for
that
starters.
That means a lot, and we should we want to also put a shout out there to Patrick Jones because he was also instrumental. And Patrick Jones and Sam Paredes and Sheriff Lopi and Doug LaMalfa, all of the guys that showed up and helped.
Yep. It takes all of us to make this happen, and everybody is pulling together real nice.
It takes a village to raise an idiot.
Anyway, it was great. The other thing is that the state of Jefferson is going to have an interesting thing happen tomorrow. Several of us have to go up to Wairika.
Okay,
and
good.
Discovery Channel's producers are going to be up there. They really want to know what's going on with the state of Jefferson. We're going to give an update. I guess they'll be up there tomorrow morning at Mark Baird and Cindy Baird's ranch, and they'll be with them in the morning, and we're supposed to be there about 2:30. Which reminds me, Linda, you need to come by the house.
Or you're going to have to get it to me.
I know, I have to. Am I? Okay, well, hopefully I can, we'll talk after the program. But,
okay.
As far as the keys go. Anyway, the thing is that it was just, it's going to be pretty amazing to see what happens as we go forward with this. And I think that, Mark, you hit the nail on the head, as you always do, when you talk about people really have to pry their butts up off the couch. Because it doesn't matter whether you want to move out of state, what you want to do. If California goes, so goes the rest of the United States. And all this stuff is just really coming down on us. And now is really the time to pay attention. And I think that we have to really start paying attention, getting engaged, and getting involved.
I agree. I agree. There's not going to be any fence sitting here pretty soon. You're either going to be on one side or the other, and it's getting more and more evident every day that goes by that we've got a real problem here. We've got some real problems with our money, with our economics, with our governance, and we either dig in and start getting involved in solving these problems, or it's just going to get worse and worse and worse.
I agree.
Yeah, there you have it. So, with that, I guess that's all I got. What do you got? Anything else, Terry? Otherwise,
no,
I'm
good. I just, like I said, I think it's going to be interesting. I don't know whether this Discovery Channel is going to really happen with anything other than maybe an interview. I'm not really sure, but I guess this gal who's the producer is an independent, and she helped with Duck Dynasty.
Very good.
Although I can't see us growing a bunch of beards and using duck calls. So.
Well, we can be happy, 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 though.
Could be happy, 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 my friend. Anyway, you're making us all very happy, happy, happy with good information because we really need that, and you guys are providing that. So
thank you, sir.
We get off here and let you get back to your program, and I'll talk to you guys after the program.
Thanks,
all right,
Terry.
Thanks, Terry.
We totally appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. Okay, I think we can catch up. Let's go out to our break here, and we'll come back with Alan Greenspan on gold and economic freedom.
All right, if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567.
Hello, this is Dr. Todd Royce, your downtown Reading chiropractor. Join me every second Saturday at 10 a.m. for Positively Healthy Radio. We discuss almost any health topic you can think of from a different point of view than a pill for every ill and a potion for every emotion. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Would you like to have more energy? Would you like to avoid the headaches, sicknesses, infections, and diseases that so many are seeming to get? We talk about all those topics and more every second Saturday. Join us at 10 a.m. on 1460 KCNR.
At the Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange, we've heard the criticism that you can't eat gold, as if eating dollar bills was very nutritious. And we answered that from the start by offering emergency buckets. We offer our standard 200-serving food bucket and the new 72-hour family cooking kits, which in addition to food also contains a stove, fuel for the stove, cups, utensils, and a 100-gallon capacity water filter. You can come into our stores, or you can go to www.thepreparedpatriot.com and with free shipping, order them online for yourself or to send to loved ones anywhere in the continental U.S. Peace of mind is protecting your wealth with gold and silver and getting a fair price when you sell. Peace of mind is also having access to emergency food and supplies in times of distress. The Patriot is your peace of mind store. Whether you visit us at our brick-and-mortar stores in Chico, Redding, Corning, and our appointment-only store in Palisadro, or whether you visit us at www.thepreparedpatriot.com, you can get peace of mind today for less.
Serving the youth of our area in mind, body, and soul for over 25 years, we're Youth for Christ Shasta and getting ready for our largest event of the year, the 14th Annual March Madness 3-on-3 Basketball Tournament, held for high school students on Saturday, March 15th, with prizes for winners, a halftime inspirational speaker, and entertaining special events. Find out more about our tournament or register your team online at yfcshasta.org. I'm Dr. Ray John, board member of YFC Shasta, and we're making a difference in this community through our programs and special events.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com. If you like Kingdom Bananas, getting caught in the rain. If you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain. If you'd like making love at midnight, in the dunes of the Cape.
Do you like pina coladas?
All depends. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
Absolutely. Anyway, we're back.
I think they were pina coladas last night.
Pina coladas, yeah, there was cake. And we want to thank Carl and Linda Bott for being there last night as well. And they're probably still eating cake, so let them eat the cake, okay?
And it was quite the cake.
It was quite the cake, as the KCNR cake. And so I'm sure they're just got cake all over themselves at this point. But we really appreciate, sorry.
Too much
info. Yeah. I'm sorry. Carl, we just want to thank you, and we want to thank you and Linda.
Yeah,
and
thank you for allowing us to have the programs at the station here and everything else that you do for us. And
absolutely.
The support in the community.
Absolutely. Okay, so we're back, and I'm going to read something called Golden Economic Freedom. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this was by Alan Greenspan, written in 1966. This article was originally appeared in the newsletter The Objectivist, published in 1966, and was reprinted in Ayn Rand's Capitalism, The Unknown Ideal. So who would have thought that Greenspan was actually an Ayn Rand fan? But he was. And it's interesting that we went from the gold standard to unfettered counterfeiting.
What happened there?
I don't know. But here is the last paragraph or two from his treatise, if you will. In the absence of a gold standard, there's no way to protect savings from the confiscation through inflation. There is no safe store of value. If there were, the government would have to make its holdings illegal, as it was done in the case of gold. If everyone decided, for example, to convert all of his bank deposits to silver or copper or any other good, and thereafter declined to accept checks as payments for goods, bank deposits would lose their purchasing power, and the government-created bank credit would be worthless as a claim on goods. The financial policy of the welfare state requires that there be no way for the owners of wealth to protect themselves. This is the shabby secret of the welfare status tirades against gold. Deficit spending is simply a scheme for the confiscation of wealth. Gold stands in the way of this insidious process. It stands as a protector of property rights. If one grasps this, one has no difficulty in understanding the statist antagonism towards the gold standard. Now, does that sound like it is appropriately pointed at today's state of the economy, at today's state of the government? You know, overspending is a way for the welfare status to confiscate our property. This is why the founding fathers in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 2, I believe, or Section 10 it is, of the Constitution, says that gold and silver are the only thing that's supposed to be legal tender. And we had to change the Constitution in 1913 to get the Federal Reserve System and the income tax. And that's just all coincidence, you do understand,
right. Yeah.
That we got
not
the
anyhow.
And the IRS was not in existence prior to 1913, and we had no income tax because it was not necessary. Because until you only needed an income tax to collect when you turn a hard money, sound money system, because sound money is prosperity. But when you turn it into a counterfeiting scheme of debt like we have now, you have to collect through an income tax in order to keep the government afloat. And this is the root of a lot of the evil that we're seeing today. And, $85 billion a month. Hey, what could go wrong? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no
problem.
See
a problem here?
Not at all. So that kind of puts that together on the gold standard and so forth. And with Ayn Rand's philosophy, and you got to respect it. Maybe you don't agree with everything, but she sure did. And her and Greenspan both hit the nail on the head as far as I'm concerned. If you don't have sound money, you cannot have economic freedom, prosperity, or even property rights. And that is the welfare statist, if you will, antagonistic viewpoint of sound money.
Well, the clip you played earlier with Mike Maloney, that puts it in a whole different perspective of how the money works, you know, where
yep. You have to understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I stay on the money so much, is because it's confusing to a lot of people. But the real deal is, if you don't understand the value of a sound money system, then you don't understand freedom, because they're directly linked, because property rights are directly linked to sound money and a trade that's not being infected. You know, it's like the old joke about if you're making brownies and, you put manure in the brownies, you know, so the founding fathers gave us the recipe. Okay. I'm going there. Give me a minute. The founding fathers gave us the recipe for freedom and prosperity in the Constitution as it was originally written. So if you take a pure brownie that tastes good and everything, and you put manure in it, and then you cover it up with chocolate, it doesn't matter how much chocolate you cover it up with, you're still eating poo. Okay.
And that's going to say something else, but be careful.
That's kind of what we're talking about here, is that we have taken the original recipe and we have put manure in it, and we keep shoveling manure in, and then we wonder why the brownie's not tasting good anymore.
Yep.
That's what's happening here. So anyway, let's move on. We got a couple more headlines and a few more minutes left in the show. Oklahoma House votes to nullify Agenda 21, 66-26. Now, here's another example of this non-existent Agenda 21 that has no bearing in society, because it doesn't really exist according to our local news media.
Right, and what's this, the second or third state that has done this?
I'm looking at the second. It might be the third, but I know that Missouri passed something. Now Oklahoma passes something. This is from the 10th Amendment Center. In Oklahoma City, March 4th, 2014, a bill that would nullify Agenda 21 in Oklahoma passed through the state and the House today. HB 2807, the Oklahoma Community Protection Act, would prohibit any state agency or political subdivision from adopting or implementing policy recommendations that deliberately or inadvertently infringe upon or restrict private property rights without due process. Now, gee, doesn't it sound like this thing's coming full circle?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the money being debased now, I don't know. I mean, there was a platform in the Communist Manifesto about, you know, central bank and, credit and, you know, government control of everything. And gee, which plan are we following? The original plan, the original recipe, or is there getting, or have we been mixing manure in the brownies?
I think so.
I think we have.
I don't think we have. I think there's other people that have been doing that for us.
Personally, I want to handle the bowl myself, okay?
I want to be the baker.
Yeah, I don't want to, yeah, exactly. Okay, moving right along. Okay, so, here's another headline. This is from Tech Dirt. This is techdirt.com. CIA accused of spying on Senate Intelligence Committee staffers. Now, so now you got the CIA spying on the Intelligence Committee that they're supposed to be working for.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So this is from the Biting the Hand That Oversees You Department. While at times it appears that the Senate Intelligence Committee, led by Dianne Feinstein, serves more to prop up the intelligence community than to handle oversight, has actually clashed quite a bit with the CIA. We've discussed a few times how the committee has been pushing to release a supposed devastating 6,000-page report about the CIA's torture program, which cost taxpayers an equally astounding $40 million to produce. However, the CIA has been fighting hard to block the release of the report, arguing that it misrepresents the CIA's actions. Oh, man. Details are a little cloudy, but Senator Mark Udall revealed that the Senate Intelligence Committee had come across an internal CIA study that apparently corroborated the information that is in the big Senate report and which directly contradicts claims by the CIA to the committee and how the report was inaccurate, suggesting that, on top of everything else, the CIA lied to the Intelligence Committee. No.
No, that would never happen.
No.
One of many, once again.
No, these guys never lie. Big government's always your friend. That's why they kill everybody in so many places in the world and just on everybody's side. So we have another article here. This is coming from the shtfplan.com. I think you know what that stands for, shtfplan.com. And
why don't you enlighten us?
The poo hits the fan plan.com. Connecticut Patriot groups fight back against confiscation order. We are armed and are familiar with the finer points of marksmanship. Now, this should be all over the mainstream media. The war on liberty is coming to a head in Connecticut, where tens of thousands of gun owners have refused to comply with the state's government gun registration laws that are in direct conflict with the Constitution and the Second Amendment. Officials have literally ordered that those who fail to meet the registration deadline to surrender their firearms or face arrest. Now, that is a direct violation of the Second Amendment, a direct violation of the Constitution, and the Connecticut guys are standing up and saying,
"Hey, I don't think that they're going to give up their weapons."
This could be the start.
They say, "Hey,
not
you didn't register your gun. You need to bring it down to us,
or whatever you got to do." The state of Connecticut is now demanding gun owners across the state turn in all newly banned, unregistered firearms and magazines or face felony arrest. Now, you know, they're not going to do it. This is direct conflict of the Second Amendment and freedom. And so is this going to be a force that's going to turn into a civil war? I don't know. There could be blood spilled before this is over. Let's hope not. Pray that this thing doesn't escalate into something more. And the statists who believe that the confiscation of guns is good for everyone. Not so much, especially if you're the ones that are trying to stay free from government. So, what else do we have? How much time we got left, Bob? We got a minute, and we're down to the last minute, and we never have enough time, do we?
Nope.
We
could go on and on.
You got anything, sis?
Well, I was going to let everybody know that next week, I'm not sure how we say this gentleman's name, George D.
The Philippo?
Yeah. But he's going to be talking about Protect Yourself from Violence. He actually wrote a book, and he is here locally in Reading, so we will have him on the program next Sunday.
Well, find your passion, guys. Find your why. Find your reason why you want to get motivated and get involved here. Is it about your freedom? Is it about your kids' freedom, your grandkids' freedom? Quit complaining if you're not going to do anything. You know, if sports are more important than your freedom, then you got a real problem here. So, you know, the real deal is that you got to get involved, and there's no fence sitting here. You were born an original. Don't die a copy. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And force, like fire, is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
I am just a simple man, working with my hands.
And thank you, Mark. Thank you, Linda. The Don Shulman Show is next. It's 11 o'clock at KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Vietnamese search planes are looking at what might be oil and debris from a Malaysian airliner that disappeared yesterday with 239 people on board. It gave no emergency signals before it fell off radar, and no one knows what might have happened. Malaysian Airlines spokesman Hugh Dunleavy says the plane had recently had a full safety check.
This particular aircraft was in the hangar now it's probably 11 days ago, and it went through its A-check. Nothing was untoward was found with the aircraft, and of course it's been operating 14 or 15 hours a day since that time without any issues.
Meanwhile, an investigation is being launched into two passengers who appear to have been traveling with fake passports. More than 170 people aboard a Japan Airlines flight bound for San Francisco found themselves unexpected guests in Hawaii yesterday. Officials say